Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants.
I don't take any supplementation,
but I take Balance of Nature because I've seen it in my lab and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true, and it's only natural.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Balance of Nature is now offering a 35% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. This offer may end at any time, so don't wait to start Dr. Howard's Health Challenge. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I can give you what you want, but you got to come home and read. I've got some good old loving and I got some more stove. When I get so throwing it on you, you got to come back for more. Oh, little thing to come by the dozen. I ain't nothing but drugs, no love. Hey, little thing, let me light your candle, calls the mama. I'm sure all the hand and I just around.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. So glad you're tuned in all over the globe today. And drugstore lovin', well, that was interesting, on the heels of talking about Sesame Street and drug addiction, how they're handling the opiate thing with kids, by the way, with children, little children. I have Melissa on with me, and I'm so grateful for Melissa Smith, who joins the program every week at this time. And there's a couple of things I wanted to mention that we might be talking about in the next hour before we go here. Number one is that Biden curiously said in the debate that nobody watched last night because Americans could care less what these morons have to say anymore. But it's like a parade of the morons. I swear to you, every time they speak, my toes curl. But that he mentioned the 17th, and he mentioned that taking, you know, the president down on the 17th and then quickly averted the conversation into talking about George Washington, which was a really strange, sort of weird statement. And a lot of people were worried about the 17th, about something going on, which is like tomorrow, because there's a Trump rally in Dallas, of all places. And so on the, you know, kind of interesting, and that a lot of people are sort of wondering what in the world he was talking about when he said the 17th on the heels of talking about taking Trump down. And so that's a little scary. Also that California is now have signed a bill that was even too far left from Mr. Moonbeam, and he wouldn't even do it. But now Newsom is doing it, and they are accepting illegals now on state boards to talk policy. Gee, I wonder how that policy is going to go. So anyway, wow, shocker. So I just wanted to mention a couple of things that we might be talking about in the next hour. And wow, there's some crazy stuff going on. So let's talk about, well, let's talk about Gates.
This is
yes.
So good, Kate.
Okay. Okay.
You ready?
Let's go.
Let's go back to the Obama administration.
Okay.
My children claimed that the Obama regulations in the school cafeteria were designed to starve middle school students.
It's true.
But if you'll recall, much of that has gone away now. I think
yes.
It's faded out. But if you'll remember, there was a big initiative about food deserts. We have people who are living in these neighborhoods, and there are no decent grocery stores for them to go to. It's a food desert. They don't have healthy food available to them. And this is why they have horrible problems with obesity and diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And we have to do something. Okay. $400 million was set aside in the Healthy Food Financing Initiative to provide incentives for grocery stores to expand into those food deserts.
All right.
And provide people with better food choices, because this was the solution. Well, it's fascinating because now there are beginning to be a few studies popping up about how successful is that food initiative. How successful are they? When a new grocery store is built, has it made an impact? I mean, it does seem kind of logical.
Right.
That if you gave people the option to buy healthier food, that they might do that, and it might impact bad food choices.
Hmm.
However, the early leading studies are finding that the presence of better quality food choices in those food deserts made absolutely no difference on people's choices.
Interesting.
People continued to eat the way they were going to eat. They continued to shop in the places where they had always shopped.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, there was some limited, very, very minor improvement for people who... What did change was that people felt they had better choices available to them. The perception changed, but their actual buying habits did not.
Okay.
So, it made me wonder... It really does make me wonder we have an obesity epidemic. Where have we gone wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of accidentally have been bumping into, I'm a YouTube kind of person. I like to listen to YouTube short little videos. And there are some really interesting YouTube videos that have popped up from... Other, generally speaking, other ethnicities with, and not just cooking shows.
Okay.
It's not, this is not like, you know, we're going to teach you, you know, how to make something, you know, cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
These are grandmas on YouTube teaching how to make traditional food.
Yeah.
That no one knows how to make anymore.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I love to cook, and I have recognized that very, very much so. Absolutely.
Well, people now, Americans now spend more dining out than they do on buying groceries.
This is why I played Mother Agnes in the beginning. You know, all those mothers on fast foods and stuff, you know. And it's true. Yes, I agree. Yes.
Well, we're seeing the rise of things like Blue Apron and these kind of fast, you know, you send away, you pick out your menu and they send you the box and all the food is there and you just have to prepare it at home.
Yeah.
But they have to send you very specific instructions because no one knows how to cook the food either.
That's true.
So in my little wondering kind of, I'm starting to enter into the grandmotherly sort of vision of life here. I'm starting to really wonder if how much of our health and our food choices, our abilities to take care of ourselves in our homes, is really taught in the home. And the more our families kind of corrode and abandon some, for want of a better description, more traditional ways of living, is this a big part of the obesity epidemic? That we are no longer sitting down as a family to eat dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the social aspect, I've said this before. If I haven't said this before, I'll say it now. People are pack animals. We are absolutely pack animals. We survive. Our mental health is best. Everything is best for us when we have our tribe with us.
Yep, I agree. For health reasons and for sanity and social reasons and education.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The dinner table's key.
Connectedness is the essence of what makes us healthy and happy.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at an America that is no longer really very healthy. Is it because of the loss of connectedness?
Right.
It would be an interesting thing to me to look at those food deserts and look at that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the availability of food, but, you know... Your mother hands down to you something about the way she teaches you to eat.
Mm-hmm.
My mother handed it to me. You know, my grandmother handed it to her. There is some notion of that connectedness that happens with our health. You know, and our mental health as well.
This is another interesting angle to this, but I was reviewing a piece that talked about the fact that when a grocery store leaves a small rural town, that basically the entire town just implodes. I mean, you will not see much of a town left after a few years of that because nobody will travel that far because they want a food to be very close by. And that the that what we're seeing across the nation with Agenda 21 is to basically root people out of the more rural areas and into the more of the big city areas or the big connected areas, the metro areas, if you will. That designation came along and they tie themselves into Fed funding for a reason. But what's interesting about that is the grocery store being the standard by which you can say that a town will survive or not survive if they don't have a grocery store. And I thought that was kind of interesting as we're seeing grocery stores having to compete against the big box stores that they can't compete and that we're rooting out all of the small owned grocery stores that seem to exist. But isn't that interesting that when you remove the ability to walk to go to the grocery store within a few minutes and that food supply, it absolutely takes down an entire town. It's kind of interesting.
Well, one of the YouTube channels that I think is really interesting is a grandmother. She's this tiny little woman. She's only I think in the thing that I was reading about her, she's only 4 foot two. Wow. She's about 57, 58 years old. She grew up, she was young during the years of the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And she said her life, her childhood was very different than modern, like her grandchildren and great-grandchildren now in Vietnam, Vietnam is a much more prosperous place than when she was a child. But she said food has been the bridge to them. They don't necessarily want to talk to her about how hard her life was when she was a child, but they will. She is like a YouTube star. She has
I love that.
She has the biggest YouTube channel for all of Vietnam.
Wow.
And her hook is that she's a tiny woman that makes mass quantities of food. She did these giant, like 15 gallons of soup, and then she feeds everybody, and it's a big stuff. But once again, listen to what's going on there.
Right.
It's the connectedness, and she is like a YouTube rock star.
Yeah.
And it's among millennials. It's among young people who are watching this, and they are connecting to her through food. I think we don't understand the power, and this seems so silly, a topic to talk about, but those are the things that bind us together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a place where we come together in a community or a family and meet together.
Right.
Have you ever been to someone else's house and they eat very differently than you and you feel really funny in that circumstance?
Yes, yes. It's funny how
They're
much food plays a part.
Yeah. You know, that's not how I make lasagna.
It's true. Yeah. It's kind of funny how food has been such a central part of our existence, you know, who we are and how a family connects. And, you know, one of my most prized things, and maybe some people will resonate with this, but my grandma and my great aunt were known, for their rolls and making rolls, homemade rolls. And I actually have her recipe and her penmanship that is framed in my house. And, you know, if something were to happen, I'd grab that if there was a fire, because I would want to make sure I still had her long handwriting writing out this recipe. There's something very special to me about that and that connectiveness to my grandmother, who was a very, very important person in my life. But it was me learning to cook from her, you know?
The people who did this study, and these are some pretty highbrow folks, the people who authored this follow-up, the evaluation of the food desert study,
right.
The Department of Social and Environmental Health Research out of London, School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine in the UK, Social and Environmental Health Research, somebody from the Department of Sociology, Anthropology, and Demography at Penn State. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are academics looking at this, and I find this conclusion so interesting. They're talking, their final analysis is, you know, we need to look at this. It's what academics always say. We need to look at this issue and study it some more. Because they're saying that we need to consider implementing complementary policies and interventions that might help consumers bridge the gap between improvements in perception and action leading to behavior change. Examples include food shopping, cooking skills, programs, price promotions, in-store stocking policies that promote increased availability and choice of components of a healthy diet, food, drink, taxes, subsidies.
All right, we have to go to a break, but can I just say I told my sons, please, for the love of Pete, get somebody, a wife that knows how to cook, a wife that knows how to cook and that loves to want to sit around the table and make sure her kids are around a table at night. That's the wedding advice I gave my sons. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.
Today we are speaking with Ann Fort.